Automate, survive, thrive. The time is now. The Automation Alliance podcast brought to you by RapidMation.
Hi there, and welcome to this edition of the Automation Alliance podcast. I'm extremely excited to welcome Stuart Chambers to today's episode. Stuart is the UiPath Emerging Product Sales Specialist for the Australia New Zealand region. Stuart is also a regional thought leader and subject matter expert and advises organizations on how to leverage UiPath's emerging product suite to drive process optimization, increase automation, and unlock value. Stuart, welcome to the Automation Alliance podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks, bud. We are very excited to have you for today's conversation. And I know that you have some amazing insights to share into some very exciting technology. So, Stuart, just before we delve into what you do today in your role at UiPath, can you start by talking the listeners through a whirlwind tour of your career to date?
Yeah, so my background has really been in the SAP ecosystem for around sort of the last 15 years. And I've always been in partner land, and I've predominantly focused on analytics, but I've also spent a fair portion of that time in data migration and data governance. And I guess the sort of roles I've played over the years have been from a developer perspective through to project and program management. And I've also spent a number of years building consulting businesses. And when I say that, I mean leading groups of consultants and leading the growth conversation around winning more work and around taking accountability for delivery. And I've done that in the startup space, and I've done that in the global SI space as well. So I've sort of been around on both sides of the fence in terms of scale, from small startups, from mum and dad businesses, through to some of the biggest SIs in the world.
Yeah, amazing, right? And I know when we first connected, I loved hearing your story and the amazing journey that you've been on. And I'm looking very forward to sharing some of those experiences with the listeners today. So I guess your official job title is now the UiPath Emerging Product Sales Specialist. So let's start by dissecting what UiPath define as their emerging products. Can you give us a bit of a definition of what they define as emerging products?
Yeah, I can. So I guess emerging products is somewhat of a internal way of describing what we do. The way I really like to describe what we do is our discovery suite of products. And our discovery suite of products, or emerging products, as we call it internally, is really a suite of products that helps organizations identify the less obvious automation opportunities and to become an automated enterprise faster. And we use data and technology to support that. And the tools that we take to market in the discovery suite or the emerging product suite is process mining, task mining, and test suite.
Yeah, amazing, right? And one of the many things that I love about the UiPath platform is exactly that, meaning it's a platform, right? So nowadays in the RPA space, I guess there's many competitors that have come into the market, and being able to build a bot, manage a software bot, and then run a software bot, I always just say that's permission to play rather than being any sort of competitive advantage. And to truly be able to get to that nirvana, that is the fully automated enterprise, you need many different tools in your intelligent automation toolbox that allows you to do things like discover, as you so rightly mentioned, and then build, manage, run, and engage users across the business. So let's go back to one of the last things you mentioned there, and that's UiPath Test Automation. Let's start there. Take the listeners through a bit of a journey about what UiPath Test Automation is.
Yeah, Test Automation is really a tool that we have a conversation with our customers about when they've been on an automation journey for a period in time when the scales start to turn in the wrong, or the scale starts to drop in the wrong direction, where they're starting to spend more time on testing and supporting the automation, the automations that they've built, and spending less time focusing on building new automations and becoming an automated enterprise. And really, that's just a growth pain. And when we see the signals of that occurring in our customers, it's actually great. That means they're moving on their journey, they're increasing where they sit on the maturity curve in terms of the automations that they're running. But the administration burden of supporting their automations is becoming unbalanced. And we have a suite of tools that actually remove that testing burden from the automation team and allow them to focus on delivering more value.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I just love that because often customers ask us about these automations that they get up and running. How can they make sure that they're more stable and that they continue to add value day in and day out, right? So the first part of that is, I guess we see, as you quite rightly mentioned, that RPA testing and making sure that those automations run consistently on a day-to-day basis. But the one thing I love about that test automation suite is that it actually extends beyond just robotic process automation and specifically UiPath testing. And it allows you to do things like mobile testing, API testing, and even different applications across your business testing around that. And it reminds me of a really good story just in your neck of the woods in Brisbane, right? Where we work with a legal customer where we were building a mobile app for them where their customers, it was like a customer portal where customers could come into and get updates on what was happening inside a certain case. And that was obviously a mobile app that spanned across iOS and Android. And behind that, that was all driven through an API that connected into one or more of their backend systems. So one of the ways we actually use the UiPath test automation suite there is to obviously do all the automatic regression testing around that mobile app, and then across that API, then across kind of those backend applications, and finally across those robotic process automation processes as well. So I just thought that's a really, really great use case and talks to some of the things that that UiPath test automation suite can do.
Yeah, there's some other great use cases as well that we're starting to talk to customers about, particularly in project land. And it might be in a large scale transformation initiative, or it might be in a testing initiative, a small scale enhancement initiative that involves testing on a large enterprise platform. And one of the use cases we're seeing around our test suite is actually removing the risk and removing the cost, or reducing the risk and cost of testing in those projects. And some interesting things we're seeing is, you know, particularly around what makes executives nervous and what makes project sponsors nervous is what happens when projects get to UAT. And often, you know, there might be a difference or a disconnect between what an organization was expecting to be delivered and what testing results they were expecting to see. And sometimes that's a problem with a customer, maybe not sharing their knowledge or being as involved in the project as they maybe should have been. And sometimes it's a problem with, you know, the system integrator or the service provider not listening or not bringing enough experience. And often that shows up in a test cycle like UAT. And it's probably too late when you're seeing it in UAT. It causes a lot of pain. So some of the great things we're seeing with Test Suite is allowing organizations to simulate their testing cycles before they formalize them and identify risks early, and doing that in a way that's actually really cost effective and really fast. You don't need to mobilize, you know, a significant amount of people once you've built your test scripts. So it can bring some amazing efficiencies and some amazing risk reduction to both small and large scale projects as well.
Yeah, that certainly resonates, right? And it reminds me of another example in one of our big insurance customers where exactly that, they roll out new versions of these insurance tools that are pretty key to the way that they do business. And it generally chews up a lot of people time in order to test and make sure that those systems and those new updates all functioning correctly. And it is, it's about minimizing that risk for kind of the powers that be to make sure that when the system gets released, it is perfect and it does exactly what it needs to do on a daily basis. So yeah.
Also helps cycle times as well. We've got another large enterprise customer, actually it happens to be up here in Queensland, that they can only release changes to their production environment once a month. And I guess we had a chat to them about what are the parameters that are driving that cadence. And they said, we just don't have enough time to test our changes. So we'll look at what comes in, we'll allow 10 changes a month, and then we'll spend the rest of the month testing, and then we'll release them. And that was slowing down their automation journey. So we had a conversation with them about the test suite and looked at how we could use the robots to help support them in that testing activity. And now they're at the point where they're comfortable saying, you know what, we could do weekly releases now, because, you know, using the test suite to run all of the scripts and find any issues or confirm there are no issues, effectively automating testing has really taken the manual labor out of that process and is allowing them to evolve and adapt quicker and keep up with sort of the demand from the business.
Yeah, what an amazing outcome, right? Excellent. All right, good stuff. So that's kind of the UiPath test suite and test automation. But let's shift gears maybe onto something called task mining. So again, just before we delve into the details, can you take the listeners through what task mining actually is?
Yeah, task mining is a really interesting piece of technology that we're getting amazing interest in at the moment. And what it is, it's effectively a robot that we sit on a user's desktop. And we try to do it with a group of users that are generally performing similar tasks or working in a similar subset of a process. And what we're doing is we effectively record what those group of process operators or users are doing for a week or two. And we're collecting information on how they're performing their daily activities at an application level outside of their traditional SAP or Oracle or Salesforce. And really what we're trying to find is, what are people doing to actually manually accelerate process performance? You know, they could be jumping between Excel files, looking for data to plug back into SAP or Oracle. They could be going to third-party systems, looking for information on websites, looking in other applications that have no integration to where their process has been run. And generally, they learn these skills by experience. And generally, there's a lot of people doing the same thing. So it could be call center operators, it could be procurement specialists, it could be payroll or HR type staff. They're really trying to accelerate a process, but they're performing lots of manual processes on a desktop level. So what we do is we effectively use our robots to study them for a period of time. I said 1 to 2 weeks is ideal, until we collect, you know, around 100,000 interactions. And that could be clicks, that could be alt tabs between applications, really just what they're doing on a desktop level. We collect all of that data and we process it through some of our machine learning algorithms. And we come back with a report that says, here are all of the automation opportunities prioritized by impact and value that we think we can put in place to make the life of those process operators easier. And some of the things you find are really fascinating. You might find that across that group of five people, there are, you know, 5 to 10 activities that they're doing that are exactly the same. They might do them 20, 30, 50 times a day, and they all take 3 to 5 to 10 minutes. And it's looking through the same applications, putting in the same data and seeking the same outcome. What we're really trying to do is, instead of taking the traditional approach of watching what people do with a stopwatch, with the notepad, surveying them, you know, post-it notes, we're actually using the power of data to capture their activity and prioritize where the benefits are, and then allow, I guess, an automation manager to decide, yep, that's going to deliver benefits for us, and send that through to the build team to actually put a button on the desktop of those users that makes their life easier and allows them to sort of take some of the robot work out of their daily life.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating, right? And I really love the concept of task mining, because I see it as kind of a non-intrusive way where it can just sit and watch one or more of these users for a period of time to identify those patterns in their work and pick up any or many of those tedious, mundane and repetitive tasks that we all have in our day-to-day roles. And I guess while it might sound a little bit big brotherish, I guess just so the listeners know, you can actually whitelist one or more of those applications so that it's just watching the applications you wanted to, rather than watching and figuring out when you're watching YouTube or sending some personal emails. And the best part is, even if it's watching an application you don't want it to watch, you can pause it at any given time, right?
You make a really good point there. And, you know, the purpose of task mining is absolutely not spying. It's about helping process operators or people who are working in a particular subset of a process. It's about helping them make their life easier. So the change management component is really important. And, you know, there are lots of things that we've built into the tool that sort of address, you know, potentially that mindset of, hey, you know, I'm being watched by Big Brother here. That's absolutely not the intent. Everything we do with task mining is opt-in. So anyone who is, I guess, being studied has the ability to, well, we can only study them if they opt in. Whenever the application is running on their desktop, it's clear to them that the application is running and the study is taking place. And you mentioned a good point there that, you know, if you need to jump into your email and, you know, sort something out for your kids at school or do some internet banking or message you know, one of your soccer mates that you're going to be late to training, you can turn the recording off and then turn it back on when you're back on work business. And there's also some other really interesting technology in there around removing personally identifiable information as well. So we've got some sort of tech that, you know, changes or anonymizes some of the things that we're recording as well.
Yeah, 100%, right? And I know we use it quite a lot in the insurance space, and we've used it across both brokers and underwriters, and it's had unbelievable value for them, right? So it's allowed those brokers to be brokers and those underwriters to be underwriters. And what I mean by that is it allows them to focus their time and actually providing those superior levels of customer success and customer kind of working with those customers and conversing with them rather than actually having to do the tedious, mundane and repetitive.
Yeah, it's. I was actually talking to an insurance organization yesterday, and they had, I guess, a similar mindset around, you know, we're worried that our team might think we're watching them, and they were concerned or interested as to what our recommendation would be as to where they should start with task mining. And sort of, I think a really good way to describe it is, you know, if you're thinking about applying task mining to your organization, you've got an instinct that there's some inefficiencies in a particular area of your business, look for a team that are the team that are doing 12 hours a day and, you know, missing spending time with their family or missing spending time exercising or sort of have an unhealthy work-life balance, as opposed to looking to apply it to the team where they're doing 8 hours a day and they're comfortable. So if you can find the team that's overworked, and you want to get them back to their family and you want to get them back to living a healthier lifestyle, find the team that are doing the most overtime, because they're generally the most willing to get involved to start with in terms of finding a way to help them do their work. And then they'll become your internal champions to say, wow, this was actually amazing. That sort of starts the momentum from a change management perspective as well.
Yeah, what a great piece of advice, right? I love that. And then often, I guess, there's many of those teams that are working the 12, 13-hour days, and that's a great place to start. And are there any other specific areas where you think that task mining can have the greatest impact for companies?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things to look out for. One is high-volume processes. I think there's another key area is around having a process that's reasonably black and white. So thinking about, you know, there's determined outcomes instead of probabilistic type outcomes. And where there's lots of transactions going through, you know, speaking to a finance broker a couple of weeks ago, and they mentioned that they have two floors in their building. One of those floors is dedicated to, I guess, the brokerage team. And one of those floors is dedicated to back office admin. And, you know, they described a floor of people that most of them have paper in their hand most of the time. And when they don't have paper in their hand, they're manually entering it and processing transactions. But a lot of things happen outside their system of record to try and manipulate the data to facilitate, you know, a cycle of a process. And that's a really good place to start, where people are really busy. There's lots of work at the application level happening outside, I guess, your enterprise resource planning system. If you've got signals like that in your organization, that's a really good place to start investigating how you could apply task mining.
Yeah. So another piece of great advice there, right? And I think we see that with many customers getting kind of interested with using this type of technology. And I think that's some great ways to look for areas to start with. And again, sometimes what we do for customers is we combine that with something that we call the proof of value pack, which is kind of a 10-day exercise where we can get them going on that journey. So yeah, just a great way and simple, easy way to get started. Okay, so let's move across to one of my favorite topics, and that's process mining, right? So first up, UiPath defined process mining as follows. UiPath process mining is a process mining solution that transforms data from your IT systems into visual interactive dashboards, allowing you to see existing value decreases, bottlenecks and discrepancies, as well as understanding the root causes and possible risks. It offers real-time valuable insights to improve business processes over time. So I know from the story that you've shared, I know that you have a long history in process mining throughout your career. And I'm keen to kind of delve into that and find out a little bit more about that. So can you take us and the listeners through kind of a journey of process mining, what it is and where you see it kind of having the biggest impact for companies?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm glad you're just as interested in process mining as I am, because I'm a big believer. I'm converted, and I guess I'd almost call myself an evangelist now. That I absolutely love the benefits that it can bring to an organization. And where my interest in process mining came from is really the time I've spent in the analytics space. You know, as I sort of mentioned earlier in our chat, I've sort of played roles from a developer to project manager to program managers, and you know, running teams of up to 35 analytics developers. And one of the things that always frustrated me about being, I guess, a leader in the analytics space is we have spent, you know, in my career, the last 15 years building data warehouses and reporting suites that give organizations you know, insights into how their process is performing. And generally those insights are really focused on certain parts of a process or what's happened at the end of the process. So there's a number of things there that were frustrating me. One is you're not picking up problems as soon as they occur. You're not picking up every problem as soon as they occur. You're really not providing your customers or your stakeholders with enough information as to why those problems are occurring. And fundamentally, at the end of the day, we're building reports for people and we're presenting them with metrics and KPIs. And we do that daily, weekly, sometimes in real time. But the big gap in analytics for me is really around if we're producing information for people to make decisions on, at what point do we start thinking about actually helping them take action on the decision that they're making every day, every week, every quarter when they look at these reports? So I started to think about, well, how is analytics going to address that problem? What sort of integration is in place? And how easy is it going to be to start automating some of the insights that we're finding from an analytics perspective? And I discovered process mining probably over 2 years ago. And I really had an epiphany when I started reading how process mining is starting to have impacts on organizations around the world. And really, I see process mining as making a fair portion of a data warehouse redundant. And I had lunch with one of my solution architects a couple of days ago, and I've had this conversation with a number of the solution architects that have worked for me over the years. And I tell them that, you know, as consultants, we need to stay relevant and we need to keep thinking about where our next 10 years are as consultants. How do we add value? How do we do the things that are difficult? How do we help organizations do things that they don't know how to do? That's why we're consultants. We're brought in to be thought leaders and to have scarce skills. And I saw process mining as the next evolution of analytics. Not only are we helping organizations get insights at every single step within their process, we're giving them the visibility to do something about that at every single step of the process. So instead of, you know, maybe it's a 10-step process that we're looking at, maybe it's something like procure to pay. Instead of waiting to the end of that process, as soon as a purchase acquisition is raised, we can look at the impact of that purchase acquisition and how it's been raised and the next step it's gone to on the fly and start to do something about it. And when I say do something about it, it's really around the automation platform that comes with UiPath. So having process mining fully integrated to a change agent like an automation platform really accelerates those benefits that can be unlocked and I guess flattening the curve of how a process should perform.
Yeah, what an awesome story, right? And just as you were going through that, I mean, one of the things we're starting to see is that if you can get that real-time analytics into a process and what's truly happening inside there, as you say, right, what's stopping you from kicking off one of these other automations and kicking off a software bot, for example, to maybe go remediate that or help that along or do something with that, and then you're responding in real time to exactly what's happening inside that business process.
Yeah, it's a little bit like having a virtual digital analyst sitting next to you or a couple of them sitting next to you day in, day out and actually helping you with an understanding of what are the things that are threatening that process and bringing them to the surface and saying, hey, look, do you know that these things are about to threaten your process in 3 days' time, 10 days' time, or in 3 seconds' time? And here's an opportunity to do something about it. And if you like, I can actually do it for you.
Yeah.
So imagine if you had three or four people in your office sitting next to you, just looking ahead for you, where they're looking 5 minutes ahead or looking days ahead. If you had that extra leverage, what sort of impact would that have in your role, or what sort of impact would that have on your process? If you had a team of robots, you know, looking for problems and giving you answers to take them away, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, an absolute game changer, right? Absolute game changer. Okay, good. And are there any types of systems or processes where you feel process mining works better against?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And the other question I get that normally goes hand in hand with that is, where do you start as well? And there's, I guess, a number of pathways to process mining. To answer your question around what are the best sort of systems, look, the best sort of systems are really ones that give you full visibility of how your end-to-end process has been run in your organization. And when I say that, you know, it's also knowing that there aren't many organizations that only use one system to execute their process. And that's why we bring in task mining as well. So task mining, hand in hand with process mining, can give us that full visibility of actually what's happening to take a process from start to finish. Really, there's three things that we look for with process mining. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a big mainstream system like Salesforce or Workday or Oracle or SAP. They're great because there's a lot of pre-built connectivity for tools like that. But as long as you've really got a unique identifier, a timestamp and a status change, which most modern databases do when they record transactional activity, we can bring that into our process mining tool and start to show where the friction is, where the rework is, where the complexity is in that process, and where the automation opportunities and benefits can be found as well. So you're not limited by technology. Some tools we'll get there faster with, and some tools, if they're custom, we can still bring them in. But like anything, it just takes a little bit longer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to go back to something you touched on there, right? So task mining is a great tool to watch what users do on the front end of applications. And process mining is a great tool to look at the log files of any system or application to pick up those patterns, right? And do you think there's ever an opportunity to bring together the front and back end worlds to give customers a full 360-degree view on any of their processes?
Yeah, I think that's actually what we're doing now with process mining and task mining. So with process mining, it's a little bit like taking a digital x-ray of your process. You know, let's say, for example, you break your leg, you go to the hospital and they take an x-ray of what damage you've done to your leg and what needs to be done to fix it. With task mining, I guess it's taking it to the next level. It might be around taking some additional blood tests, or it might be taking some additional studies on your body to see if there's any damage that isn't visible in the x-ray. And once you bring those two pieces of information together, you can actually go to a surgeon or a physiotherapist or whatever type of medical support you need to take action and make the change. But you're going to those, I guess, medical providers with a full view of what the damage is at a macro, so the process level, and a micro level, think maybe task mining, and you can build a plan to actually remediate the issues that you've got.
Yeah, what a great analogy, right? And I think that it just makes it so visual and so clear for people thinking about these types of technologies and how they might be able to use them. All right, well, some of the technologies that we've talked about today can have some truly amazing impacts for businesses, right? So are there any words of wisdom from your travels that you can provide to the listeners on how you would approach getting started with one or more of these technologies?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. One of the things I think to keep in mind, if we start with process mining, is to keep in mind that, I mean, my view on process mining is that the real value from process mining isn't when you see a visual of actually how your process has been performed, you know, and in that visual, you might see that there are actually 200 deviations of how you're delivering a procure to pay process, which might sound a lot, but it's actually really common. you might see where the friction is, you might see where the issues, the rework, the maverick buying, you know, buying off contract or how long your procurement tail is. You might see those things. But to me, that doesn't unlock a great deal of value. The real value comes when you actually make the change, when you do something about those issues, or when you go to the surgeon to get your broken leg fixed. That's when the value and the benefits start to unlock. So process mining is a really powerful way, and so is task mining, to get an objective view of exactly what's going on in your organization and to get there really fast. Traditionally, to get these sort of views or studies completed in your organization might have taken 3 months, 6 months, a team of Lean Six Sigma type consultants coming in, studying your organization, trying to work out what's going on and getting a single point in time view of your process performance. That can be really expensive. So we've taken that time and expense out of discovering where your issues are or where your automation opportunities are, but you've got to take action. And most importantly, if you can make that link between your process mining and task mining technology and the change agent, the platform that actually embeds those changes in your organization, then time to benefits or time to returns, your ROI is really fast, and you'll start to build momentum a lot quicker. And I guess my other piece of advice is start small, start with a subset of a process, start with a subset that you're really comfortable with in your organization. Don't start with the most complex one. Build some capability, build momentum, and then expand as well, is a method that we've seen work really well across the world.
Yeah, some invaluable advice there. So thank you very much for sharing that. All right, so we work in an amazing space, right, where things change daily, if not hourly sometimes. And is there something new on the horizon, on the technology horizon, that has you particularly excited?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that have got me excited about UiPath. And I guess working in our emerging products division, my goal is to transition our emerging products, which is process mining, task mining, and test suite, to mainstream. And I don't expect to be, I guess, positioning our products and the benefits that they deliver for much longer than a couple of years at a time. So there are some really exciting things on the horizon for UiPath. A number of them are under NDA, so I can't comment too much. But there are some exciting things on the horizon. And I think what's really exciting is around potentially focusing more on how do we leverage tools like process mining and task mining to focus on not only the more sophisticated automation opportunities. The way, you know, I sort of describe it at the moment is the automation market is still somewhat in its infancy. And you know, a lot of organizations are just starting on their automation journey. Some are sort of moving to picking up or picking off the low-hanging fruit, and they're starting to stand on their tippy toes and looking for the more sophisticated automation opportunities and picking off that next layer of fruit. And we're going to get to a point in time where I think for some customers are already there, where the obvious automation opportunities have been prosecuted. And we're going to start to move into some really sophisticated type automation opportunities that rely more on AI to make decisions or to support probabilistic outcomes. That's from a process perspective. I think the next wave that we're going to see the technology start to focus on is the data that feeds the process. So we focus a lot on how people work within a process now and how they interact with data. But then I think the next wave will really be around, as data comes into a process, how are we automating the sort of threats or impacts that's going to have on a process we've ironed out? So once the process is smooth and flat and we've got it under control, then really the only parameters left are what comes in, and focusing on what comes in and putting that through a streamlined process, I think, is where the technology is going to go in the next couple of years.
Yeah, very exciting, right? And often people say data is the new oil. But as you say, right, that data becomes absolutely key to feed into the process. And it's going to be really exciting to see how that evolves over the coming weeks, months, and years. All right, Stuart, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your unbelievable knowledge and experiences in this space. It's very much appreciated. And I know that the listeners would have got immense value out of this episode. But just before we say goodbye, are there any parting thoughts or comments you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Oh, look, you've probably put me a bit on the spot there. But one of the things I think as organisations get started with automation, or if you're starting to move along your automation journey, is have a look at how you can use data and have a look at how you can use process mining and task mining to actually remove the effort needed to accelerate your journey to being an automated enterprise. I think you'll be really surprised at how quickly you can get a view of where your automation opportunities are. But I think even more surprising is just getting a view of how your process has been performed. I see so many people nearly fall off their chairs. Some of them will be really surprised, and some of them will say all sorts of different things when they see it. But a lot of organizations have their real aha moments when they see the way the organization is actually operating, and it blows their mind. You know, when you get a data view of where the opportunities lie, that's refreshable. You know, you can refresh it whenever you want. You don't have to wait for the team of consultants to come in and restudy your organization when something changes, when you make an acquisition, or, you know, something changes in your process. It's really powerful, and it's really inspiring when you actually get that view of how your process has been performed. It really ignites people's imaginations to how they can improve their organization. So if you haven't looked yet at process mining or task mining, reach out to us or reach out to you know, who you feel comfortable with, and let's start to share what some of the technology can do with you.
Yeah, what a great way to end today's episode, right? And we often say to customers, it's no longer about if you're going to automate, but rather when, and when can be today. So with that, Stuart, thank you once again for your time, and we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Great. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the conversation.
See ya.
Bye.
Be part of the community and join the Automation Alliance at www.automationalliance.com.